So before we get into the episode, a word from our sponsors. Hello everyone, my name's Betty and thanks for listening to the podcast today. We're talking about Outlander episode 10 by the pricking of my thumbs. Before we get into the episode, I want to talk about last week. I totally dropped the ball, guys. I meant to talk about the anniversary, the 275th anniversary of Culloden, and I meant to put it in my trivia because I didn't have any trivia, but it slipped my mind. I don't know why. It's not something that we should be forgetting because, you know, a lot of people died that day and it's important to remember them. So anyway, I just wanted to, you know, acknowledge that day is important, and it's been 275 years since that happened, and it was a tragic day. So anyway, let's get into the current episode. So the synopsis reads, Claire confronts the young girl who is in love with Jamie. She also discovers that Galus is expecting Dougal McKenzie's child. Jamie hopes to convince the Duke to hold Captain Blackjack Randall accountable for his crimes so that Jamie may be pardoned for a crime he didn't commit. Alright, so this episode, it starts out, I've got to keep this podcast PG, so I can't talk about what they were doing, but anyway, they were doing their thing, and Myrtle, he comes in, or interrupts them, and, you know, knocking on the door, and it's a little awkward, but he's come with news about the Duke of Sandrinum is coming for a visit, and and Jamie is really happy about this because he can talk to the Duke and probably get the price lifted off of his head. And Claire, you know, actually Myrtle warns him first about the Duke is probably a little bit too friendly with you. And, you know, Jamie's like, well, don't worry, I'm not going to, you know, do anything like that. But Claire, she wants to warn Jamie because because of what she knows about the Duke of Sandrinum and his relationship to Blackjack Randall. She says that if I tell you something, you promise, you know, not to question how I know. And of course, Murdaugh says that he made no promise. But Jamie tells Murdaugh, we'll both be respecting you, that we won't ask no questions. And she tells him that a friend of Blackjack Randall's would probably be no friend of yours. And even Myrtle agrees that Jamie should probably talk with Ned Gowan before he does anything with the Duke. And Jamie agrees, but he's so happy that, you know, this will probably gain him a pardon, you know. And because he wants to be able to take Claire to Lollybrook so they can be the laird and the lady of Lollybrook. So anyway, in the next scene, it shows Jamie, he's actually talking with Ned Gowan, and they're talking about the legalities of what this would mean. It would be Jamie's word against Blackjack Randall's, and that probably wouldn't hold up in court. You know, even if it is the truth is different from the law. So Jamie's just about ready to give up on this idea, and Ned Gowan says not to be too hasty about it, if he is a good friend of Blackjack Randall's, that it probably wouldn't be a good idea. They must convince the Duke not to be friends with such a villain. So Ned Gowan's plan is to draw up a petition because of crimes against Scottish people, including Claire. And he could probably get Blackjack Randall reassigned somewhere far away from Scotland, or even court-martialed. All Jamie would have to do is convince the Duke of Sandrinum to deliver the document to the right people. And Myrtle, you know, he's like, why can't we just hang him, you know? And Ned says that if Blackjack has to serve the rest of his term in some, you know, hellhole, it would be a greater punishment than hanging him. And with Blackjack Randall disgraced, Ned could probably get Jamie his pardon that he needs. So the next scene we go to is Claire, and she is going into the kitchen, and Miss Fitz is putting on a new apron that Leary has made for her, and of course, Claire, you know, she doesn't want to talk with Miss Fitz. She wants to talk with Leary. And Miss Fitz, you know, she's kind of concerned because, you know, she can tell that Claire is upset. But she clears the room for Claire and Leary to talk. And so Claire, this is where Claire confronts Leary about her ill wish left under her bed. And, you know, Leary, you know, she confesses that she did put it under there because Jamie is hers, you know, I mean, and that poor Jamie is in a loveless marriage, and he probably has to get drunk every time, you know, he wants to lay with Claire. And this upsets Claire very much, and she slaps her, and everybody probably cheered when that happened, because I mean, I could watch that over and over and over. And after that, but anyway, after that happens, Claire says tells Leary to stay away from her and her husband. Leary also confesses that Galus was the one that sold her the ill wish in the first place. But Claire leaves. You know, she doesn't provoke Leary anymore. And so it goes to the next scene. And Claire has gone looking for Galus, but she's not home. And her husband, you know, he's having problems. And Claire gives him a herb to help settle his stomach. And she's going to leave. And the maid tells Claire that Galus will be out in the woods because it's going to be a full moon to, you know, to go before dawn looking for Galus. So the next scene is Claire, she's wandering through the woods, and she finds Galus, and Galus is doing this ritual kind of like the druids did during the stone circle dance, you know. And she's dancing, and they're cutting back and forth between that scene in the first episode and then to Galus there. And and Galus is you know, she's half naked. And anyway, when she gets done doing the ritual, she tells Claire to come out because she knew she was there. She heard rustling in the leaves. And so Claire comes out, and she notices that Galus is pregnant and everything, and she's questioning all that. And Galus says that Arthur doesn't know, because of course it's not Arthur. She confesses that she has a lover. And Claire, you know, she asks if it's anybody she knows, and Galus says, yes, it's Dougal McKenzie. And Claire says, that wouldn't the baby be awkward, you know, because y'all are both married and everything. And Galus says, it's plenty of time, you know, the baby will be born, you know. She has plenty of time for the ritual that she just performed to be fruitful. Because she was doing a dance to Mother Nature to ask for her and Dougal's freedom. And Galus asks Claire to keep her secrets, not just about the child, but about everything that she saw Galus doing tonight. So the next scene we see, they're walking through the woods, and Galus is telling Claire that she would have never sold the ill wish to Leary if she'd have known that it was for Claire. And she said that you could do a lot worse to me if you wanted, because of the secrets that you know now. And Claire says that you're my friend, you're the only one I've had since I got here. So, of course, you know, Galus tells Claire that she feels the same about Claire, because, you know, if it weren't for Claire and Dougal, that she would she wouldn't have anything either. You know, she would be outcast like Claire too. And then she shows Claire a piece of jewelry that Dougal got her. And Galus says that it would have been wasted on Dougal's wife. And this shocks Claire because Claire didn't realize that Dougal was married. And Galus goes on to explain that, yeah, she's been holed up in their estate for years. She's not fit for public gatherings. And I should also mention, because the Duke of Sandrinum is the one that gave the jewelry to Dougal, and that's what he gave to Galus. And Claire is puzzled because she thought that he came to meet with Colum, but Galus goes on to explain that he meets with Colum, but it's actually Dougal that he's fond of. Then Claire, she goes on to have a flashback of Frank explaining why the Duke of Sandrinum would probably be friends with Blackjack Randall as well as Dougal McKenzie. Because he was a respected Englishman, but he was also a well-known Jacobite. And then at this moment, Claire, she hears some crying in the distance, and she wants to go and investigate, but Galus tells her not to go mess with it because it's a fairy hill that the baby is up there on, and because the baby is a changeling. And Claire's like, but the baby will die if we don't help it. And Claire is determined to go. And Galus is like, well, you go yourself and good luck to you. And of course, Claire, you know, she goes up there and she finds the baby. And I'm sorry, y'all. I just watched the scene and it gets me every time. I'm sorry. Anyway, she goes up there and she finds it, and it's died. And she's holding it, and Jamie rides up on his horse, and he takes the baby, and she's saying that she couldn't get there fast enough, that it was already gone, and he takes the baby and puts it back where she found it, and he says that she has a kind heart, but that she's meddling in things she doesn't understand. And he tells her that he ran into Galus Duncan on the road, and, you know, he'd been looking for Claire all day. And Claire asks him, don't tell me you believe in changelings and fairies and all that. And Jamie says, it's not what I believe, but it's what the people around here believe. And he also is talking about how, you know, people around here, they've never been anywhere outside of, you know, of where they live, and all they hear is what Father Bain tells them on Sunday morning. And, you know, it might comfort the parents of that baby if they thought it was the changeling that died and not their child. So it goes to the next scene, and Jamie is sitting there talking about what Ned Gowan had advised him on, about how they could probably get Blackjack Randall with the petition if, you know, but all he needs is Claire to sign it too. And Claire's looking over it, and she's kind of hesitant on it because she doesn't trust the Duke of Sandrinum. I think too, she's also kind of hesitant because that's her signature on an official document. And, you know, her being from the future, her name would be, you know, in record. You know, so that would be kind of weird. And she may be a little bit nervous that Frank might find her. Anyway, I just got done watching that scene just now. And I realized she signed it Claire Elizabeth Fraser. She didn't put Beecham there. And at first watch, I thought she did. But anyway, so it goes to the next scene. And she is talking with the Duke of Sandrinum. And or she's meeting with the Duke of Sandrinum. And this is the first time we get to see him. Finally, the, you know, mysterious Duke of Sandrinum. And he looks like the Friendly Lion from The Wizard of Oz. I don't know if that's intentional. Because, you know, when Claire was giving Leary, you know, the spell to... you know, how to win the man's heart, you know, she quoted, there's no there's no place like love, there's no place like love, and all that. I don't think it's intentional, but he looks like the friendly lion from, or the cowardly lion, I think it is, from Wizard of Oz. But anyway, that is not important. Anyway, Claire is going to meet with him, you know, to try to convince him to sign the, or to, I guess, to send the petition to the right people, you know. But he doesn't, I mean, either he doesn't really know, or he knows and he just doesn't want to acknowledge that he is helping such a vile person. I think it's the latter. I think he just doesn't want to acknowledge that he's not, he doesn't want to be associated with someone so terrible. So, but anyway, he, you know, he wants to see the petition, and of course Claire doesn't have it, but she's trying to, you know, talk to him before Jamie does, and of course, you know, he points out, you know, trying to soften me up because, you know, Jamie knows that I have this soft spot for the fair sex and all this and blah blah blah. Of course, Claire, she tells him that, you know, Jamie doesn't know that she's there, and you know, the Duke of Sandringham says he's very fond of Jamie, but you know, he wants to refuse to agree to this petition for Black Jack Randall. So the Duke tries to dismiss Claire right here, and she turns around and says, you know, blackmails him that she knows about Dougal McKenzie giving him Jacobite gold. And so, you know, if he doesn't do what she needs him to do, then she will turn around and tell, you know, authority people about his involvement in the Jacobites. So, you know, she's kind of got him, you know, right where she wants him. And but he kind of threatens her at the same time, you know, because he actually does say that it would be such a shame for her pretty little neck to be parted from her head. But anyway, he, after all of that exchange, he agrees to listen to Jamie and about the petition about Black Jack Randall. So in the next scene, Claire's come back to Castle Leoch, and Rupert comes out to get Claire because he needs her to go and give Dougal a sedative because he's gone out of his mind because his wife has passed away from a fever. And so she runs up there and she asks how would they give it to him. I mean, because of course she has a sedative to give to him, but she doesn't know how they would give it to him. And Angus goes around and gets a bottle of port or something, and or probably ale. And so Claire puts the sedative in that, and he drinks it and passes out, of course. And Colum, you know, is saying, let me know when he wakes so that I can talk to the fool, you know, and everything. And they carry Dougal to his chambers, you know. So it goes to the next scene, and Claire runs into Galus. I guess they're at the market is what it looks like. And Galus is all happy and everything. She's like, she asks Claire, have you heard? Because, you know, Mora has passed away, and, you know, Claire's not happy about it. But, of course, Galus would be happy about this news. And she believes that her prayers have been answered, you know, the ritual she did the other night. Of course, Claire's like, you don't believe that your summoning prayer had anything to do with this. And, of course, Galus is like, I don't know that it did, and I don't know that it didn't. And Claire, of course, says it's just a sad coincidence. But Galus is like, well, now me and Dougal can be together. And Claire is like, well, I think your husband would have something to do with that. And the only reply she gets from Galus is a little giggle, and Galus walks away. So in the next scene, Jamie has come to see the Duke of Sandringham, and of course, you know, he is puzzled out how everybody knows he is acquainted with Black Jack Randall and all this. And he brings up that, you know, if I was to do this, you know, it would be easy enough, but I need to protect myself that I'm not associated with Black Jack Randall and all of this. And so he makes a proposition to Jamie, because, you know, If I was to do this for you, I need your help too. He asks Jamie to be his second in a duel against the McDonald's because they he owes them a debt, and so he's been challenged to a duel because when Murdaugh and Jamie were going into the house, of course the McDonald's were leaving. But anyway, so he asks Jamie to do all that, and he gets really weird with Jamie right here and touching his face and stuff. But anyways, Jamie agrees to do it, and of course, you know, when they're leaving, Murdaugh is like, he shouldn't be getting involved with the McDonald's because, you know, they're sworn enemies with the McKenzies, and he probably shouldn't be doing this. But Jamie is willing to take the risk because he wants to be able to return to Lollybrook. I mean, that's the whole goal. I mean, he'll do anything to clear his name and be able to take Claire and return to his home. So the feast for the Duke of Sandringham is happening, and Claire and the Duke, you know, they talk for a minute. You know, they act like they've never met each other, but, you know, we know that earlier in the episode they did meet each other. But anyways, Claire is upset that the Duke has put Jamie up for the duel, and so she's like, you know, if anything were to happen to Jamie, then, you know, she's going to make good on her threats to him, you know. But he's like, well, you know, he'll be on the business end of the pistol. So if anything happens to him, then, you know, Jamie won't get what he wanted. Meanwhile, on the other side of the dining hall, the vicar, Arthur Duncan, starts to choke, and Claire goes to assist him, and but of course, you know, he's been poisoned. He dies, and Claire looks around and she sees Galus, and Galus is looking at Dougal, and Colum notices this too, and but, you know, Galus puts on this show that she is distraught that her husband is been, you know, died and everything. But, of course, Claire, being, you know, the physician she is, she knows when someone has been poisoned, you know, because with cyanide, because Arthur's, I guess his breath smelt like the bitter almonds that cyanide smells like. But not only does Claire know that something is fishy, that Arthur has probably been poisoned, but Colum is onto it too. So it goes to the next scene, and it's Jamie. It's the McDonald's, and Jamie is doing the duel. You know, as being the Duke of Sandringham's second, he has to walk the five paces. And, you know, mark the spot, and then the Duke takes his place, you know, and the McDonald father, he takes his place, and they fire their pistols, and that satisfies the debt and everything, but it doesn't satisfy it for the young McDonalds. They are trying to be civil and everything, and they start to walk away and, you know, leave it at that, and, but Jamie, and this is, it's a little out of character to me, but Jamie and the young McDonald's there, they start, you know, kind of having a back and forth argument and stuff, and it starts a big fight, and of course Jamie, he gets hurt in this fight, and but the Duke of Sandringham comes up to him, and he tells him to tell his wife that he had nothing to do with this, but he will honor his agreements with the petition. And he takes that from Jamie and leaves him there. And of course, Jamie passes out. But the next scene we see is Claire, and she is doctoring Jamie's wound because, you know, he got a really bad gash in his side. And in this scene, some behind the scenes stuff about it, she was doing it, you know, Kate and Sam were doing the scene, and Kate accidentally really gets him with the suture, and so yeah, that's a little behind the scenes stuff. But anyway, but of course Claire is upset, but while she's doing that, Ned Gowan comes in and tells Jamie that Colm is wanting to speak with him. So Jamie goes into the Colm's chambers, and he is talking to Dougal. Dougal is trying to convince him that he's in love with Galis and that he's going to marry her. And of course, Dougal tells Colm that he is that Galis is carrying his child and all of this. And Colm dismisses him. You know, he tells him that he can go and do all this kinds of stuff on his own homeland. He's ordering him as the laird of Castle Eauk, you know, that he's exiling him. And so he tells him that Jamie and Rupert and Angus will accompany him to make sure he is on his best behavior. And Jamie doesn't want to go, of course, but Colm tells him that he has to go and keep an eye on his brother because of what he did with the Duke of Sandrinum, the duel, you know, with the McConnells. And of course, Jamie, you know, says that he had to do it to clear his name, but Colm says you'll go anyway, and you'll be leaving your wife here with me so I can make sure that you are on your toes and doing what I'm telling you to do. So the next scene, Jamie and Claire are saying their goodbyes, and Jamie is advising Claire to stay away from Galis because, you know, Colm's wrath will be directed towards her next. And Claire, of course, you know, she promises to stay away. And Dougal comes up and says that, you know, he wants to put some miles between him and his brother, so to hurry up. And Jamie gives Claire a farewell kiss. And, you know, it's a passionate kiss like they always are. And but Dougal over here is saying, I said to kiss her, not swallow her. I thought that line was so funny. But anyway, Jamie gets up, gets on his horse, and they ride off. So the next scene we see, Claire is, she is doctoring Mrs. Fitz, and, you know, you can tell Claire is upset with the parting with Jamie, and Miss Fitz, in her own way, tries to comfort Claire. And I need to say it again, I've said it several times, I love Mrs. Fitz, she's just the best. But anyway, as Claire is doctoring Mrs. Fitz, the little boy that she had saved his life in a previous episode has brought Claire a message that Galis needs help. And so Claire goes and, you know, she goes to Galis. And, of course, Galis didn't send that note. And she's wondering, you know, I guess someone's pulling a prank on Claire. But Claire is telling Galis that she needs to get out of here because people are going to be coming for her because, you know, but Galis is like, Dougal will not let anything happen to me. And, of course, at this moment, the warden comes and they're wanting in, and the maid downstairs lets them in. And Claire, they go to arrest Galis and Claire, and Claire doesn't understand what she's done, but the warden says you'll hear all about it at the trial. And they put them in the wagons, and they're getting ready to leave and everything. And Claire's looking outside of the bars there, and she sees Leary in the alleyway. She's the one that sent the note and got Claire in trouble as well as probably Galis as well. So, and that's where the episode leaves, and that's where this discussion of this episode is wrapped up. So I guess that's all I have to say about it. I can't think of anything off the top of my head right now. So y'all stay tuned for trivia. Okay, so the piece of trivia I have, it says, the episode title refers to a line from Shakespeare's Macbeth, by the pricking of my thumbs, something wicked this way comes. In the play, this line is uttered by a witch. At the end of the episode, Galus and Claire are accused of witchcraft. So yeah, that's pretty interesting. So y'all stay tuned for news. So the news I have, if y'all didn't listen to my SAS Red Notice podcast episode, I shared news that Laura Donnelly, who plays Jenny, has a new show called The Nevers on HBO Max. Also, you might not have heard, but Men in Kilts will be available in the UK May 9th. Of course, I shared that also on my Men in Kilts podcast the last episode. So, y'all guys have something to look forward to. I haven't checked out Laura Donnelly's new show yet, but I'm gonna check it out and see if I like it. I may podcast about it someday if I like it. So anyway, that's all the news I have, and I don't have any feedback. If y'all want to leave feedback, y'all can always do that. I'll share links in the descriptions to this podcast. But that's all that's everything for tonight. Y'all keep having fun. Visiting the Duke of Santa Monica.